Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Must Have Seen TV, a bonus episode, and I am incredibly frazzled, and you will hear why. In a second. This is normally the podcast where I talk about sitcoms of the 20th century from Isle of Lucid News Radio. This is a special bonus episode because I am wanting to give everyone, listeners, an update on what I am doing in my life and also why episodes have not been coming as fast and furious as I would like them to. There are phases and eras of quarantine, and I'm going through them like sands through the hourglass. I don't know. I just interviewed Barbara Eden, people. I'm feeling all sorts of ways about this. So why did I just interview Barbara Eden? If you follow me, well, actually, I have no idea. So I'm working on a book. I am working on a book about Hayden Rourke of I Dream of Jeannie. Which, if you listen, you know, because I did a whole episode about Hayden Rourke and what I was able to uncover about his life just via Googling, which was a lot, but not enough. And so me being the crazy overachiever that I guess I am, I decided, my husband was like, you should write a book about this. And so that's what I'm doing, is I am trying to write a book about Hayden Rourke. I've never written a book before. I don't know what I'm doing, especially never written a biography. So, figuring it out. But I'm talking about this, I guess, also to hold myself accountable, that if the more publicly I talk about this, the less likely I am to back off, and out of fear that people will be like, hey, aren't you doing this thing? That I'll be like, no, I'm not doing this thing, and they'll be disappointed in me. So that's why I'm telling people that I'm doing it. The whole mission for the last 5 weeks has been to talk to Barbara Eden, and it finally happened. And it was quick. It was only 27 minutes. But, like, the problem with talking about Hayden Rourke, who was born in 1910, is that literally everyone is dead or in their 70s or 80s, and it is hard. It is very hard to get stories and facts and corroborations, because memories fade. So like, I am trying to, I think it is very disrespectful to get someone of age and then just keep badgering them with questions. I think that is not cool, especially if they're a legend and an icon. That's why I always got annoyed when people would ask Stan Lee questions about a Black Widow movie and things. And it's like, he is in his 90s. Stop asking him questions about Guardians of the Galaxy. He does not know who it is. He does not care. So, like, I think I have a good set of empathy on me. And so I think I know when a person is... I'm not going to go fishing in a place where there's no fish, or all the fish have gone, I guess is the thing. But anyway, she had some really lovely things to say. She, of course, loved him. That's why she called me out of the blue to schedule to schedule a talk with me, even though I've been in touch with her manager, agent, and publicist, and every like tried my hardest for 5 weeks to get in touch with her. And I truly don't know which method worked. I just know she emailed me, she called me, which it's very surreal to get a phone call that says, this is Barbara Eden, and it's the voice. That's wild. But other people, she was able to corroborate some lovely things, specifically, like, I'm getting a lot of good details about how, like, when they would have parties, they would put, like, paper lanterns out, I guess, the driveway to, like, lead into their house. Both her and Hayden's niece-in-law said that, which I found delightful. She also talked about Justice, Hayden's husband. And if you listen to the episode about Hayden, I refer to Justice as his husband because that is what Justice was to Hayden. Husband is more than just a legal document, people. So she also worked with him before. She said that she knew Justice before she knew Hayden, that she worked on a thing with him, which I think I knew because I've done a scary amount of research on them and their lives and their filmographies. Before I keep going, I also just want to put this out to listeners. Multiple things. If you have any connection to anyone that worked or knew Hayden Rourke or Justice Addis or any one of their families, very long shot. The podcast does not have that many listeners. But please get in touch. That would be great. The other things that listeners you might be able to help with, if you are queer identifying and grew up watching and loving I Dream of Jeannie, please get in touch with me. Twitter, email musthaveseentv@gmail.com. Right now, my grand vision of the book is I want to close the book out with Hayden's legacy and the place that I Dream of Jeannie has in the gay lexicon, because I do believe that it has a place there. I mean, it's a campy female lead 60s sitcom. Of course it does. And you see that in, you know, this very year in Drag Race season 12, Jackie Cox did talked about I Dream of Jeannie a bunch. It was a big influence on her as a Persian Canadian. She even did a full Barbara Eden look for her commercial challenge. So like it is canon. And I feel like Hayden and Juss are these lost gay icons that are lost because people have to stay in the closet and stories don't get told, and they get lost because people die and time moves on. And I feel overwhelmingly compelled to write that in regards to Dr. Bellows. And I do think it's because the story is just so great. Please get in touch with me if you identify as queer and love I Dream of Jeannie, grew up watching it. Get in touch with me. Also, if you have book recommendations for the specific topics of gays in the military, specifically gays in World War II, Broadway in the 1930s, I need to do a lot of research on, and just old Hollywood gays in general. I've been buying a bunch of books to pad out this library for people on Instagram right now. I bought... my library so far includes The Songwriter Goes to War by Alan Anderson, which is written by... I talked about him in the Hayden episode. It's written by the stage manager of This is the Army, which is the World War II Variety review show that Hayden and Jess were both stage managers on, and The Celluloid Closet, which is, you know, homosexuality in the movies, written by Vito Russo in 1981. So just trying to get a lot of context, because I know I'm probably not going to be able to get all the details about their life that I want, that makes a biography really good. So I'm trying to make sure that I pad it out with kind of just telling the story of how gay people existed in the spaces that they existed in, in addition to their story. Because the fact that Hayden and Juss met in the 30s and then were together until Juss died in 79, and they went through all this stuff together, is wild. So, other things that has happened, that have happened, things that have happened. I, through a lot of subscriptions to Ancestry.com and Newspapers.com and a mutant power for internet sleuthing, I ended up getting in touch with both Hayden Rourke's niece, his niece-in-law, the wife of his nephew, and also I've been in touch with the family of Justice Addis, Hayden's husband. So yeah, I have been in touch with them. It is Justice's two half-brothers and one of the wives of his half-brother. So I've been in touch with them and I've gotten stories and I will be interviewing them shortly, which is, again, what I find beautiful and inspirational and encouraging is both families love them unconditionally. I've not encountered the whole, like, well, we didn't know that they were really gay, which is what I was worried about. Hayden and Justice were out, publicly out, very out, not in the closet. I don't think it was as talked about as it is now, but they didn't make efforts to hide it, which is truly wild, considering what we think we know about the 40s to the 70s. So the warmth and respect and love that both the families have for him and Justice is just beautiful, and it's really inspirational, and especially right now when the world is awful, it makes me feel good to have these stories and these people kind of cheering me on in a way as I try and figure out this story that they've all said they've been waiting for someone to tell. So that's wild. So I've talked to Hayden Rourke's niece. I will be talking to Justice Addis's brothers next week. I've also talked to one of Hayden's longtime friends who started as a production assistant on Genie and Bewitched, and they became pen pals, and then he ended up being with Hayden when Just passed and, like, took care of him a lot and was very close friends and had so many lovely stories about Hayden. And I talked to writer John Woolley, who is a friend of that friend of Hayden's, who wrote an article called Getting to Know a Monster in OK Magazine, which is Oklahoma Magazine, not the People Magazine knockoff OK. So if you just Google Getting to Know a Monster, John Woolley, Oklahoma Magazine, you'll get this really great story about how he essentially did the one thing that I find myself wishing I could build a time machine and do, which is spend an afternoon with Hayden Rourke and Justice Addis in their Studio City home in 1971. It's a really lovely article, and it was a really lovely time talking to him and his friend that was friends with Hayden. There's a lot of great stories going on right now. So I found out a lot more. If you go back and listen to the episode where I talked about Hayden Rourke, that was just what I could find on the internet. And I found a lot more firsthand accounts since then. And it has been surreal, because I've never done this before. And yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then I talked to Barbara Eden today, which is why I'm doing an Instagram live and also recording this episode, is because that finally happened. And it was very cool. It's really surreal. When you cross paths with people like her and Bob Newhart, people that you grew up watching that seem, honestly, they're mythical figures. And the fact that they're still with us is a gift. The things they've seen and lived through, it's just another era, another time entirely. And that they're still here to that's why it is important to get these stories while they still can be gotten. And I do this for a living. I interview celebrities for a living. But this was... She was very warm, very friendly, punctual, professional, just everything you would want from a living legend. Yeah, I'm not going to keep people around much longer. That's the thing. I just wanted to give an update that, first of all, why the podcast is, I'm trying to get it roaring back to life, but spending all my time doing Ancestry.com research and Newspaper.com research, which I've shouted out on the podcast many a time, that website is vital and worth my $9.99 a month, I think. I'm doing a lot of time doing researching and transcription and et cetera, just so I can get this story out there. And I honestly have no idea how long this process takes, how marketable a book like this is. It is infinitely more marketable now that I actually have Barbara Eden quoting input. That's really cool. And I don't know. I get really emotional because I care so much about this. And it is so weird because I don't know these people. I Dream of Jeannie is not one of my favorite shows. although I will say the 10 episodes I watched in the last day to just get really prepped for this interview were just really delightful. And I've also been watching I Dream of Jeannie regularly all in quarantine. So, and I grew up on the show and loved it as a kid. I just didn't watch it for 20 years in between. So it is sometimes when I step back and I'm like, why am I going to all this trouble for someone that isn't Paul Lynde or Charles Nelson Reilly, who are my icons, capital I-C-O-N-S, people that I have masks with their faces on to wear when I don't go outside, because I never go outside anymore. But the thing is with the two of them is Paul Lynde has had at least one, maybe two biographies written, and Charles Nelson Reilly told his own story in a 3-hour stage show, The Life of Reilly, which you can buy on Blu-ray, which I do have on Blu-ray. So their stories are out there, and they need me to write about them now and write about their work now because people need to know about their work now. But when it comes to their life, that's been handled. Yeah, there can always be more written, obviously, but it's been done. And Hayden has not been done yet. And the fact that he lived the life that he led and did all he did, World War II, B movies in the 50s, Doris Day movies, Jeannie, theater, all with a partner, all open, all out, unlike Paul and Chuck to an extent. I also did ask Barbara Eden about Richard Deacon and Paul Lynde. And I mean, she didn't have, what she said was they just didn't talk about a lot of that stuff at the time. So a lot of it is just left up to my assumption that, when a gay guest actor comes on Jeannie, Hayden probably knows. Are they talking? I'm trying to find out. I've had two people now kind of say that Hayden and Paul Lynde were friends or friendly. So I'm going to try and get in touch with a Paul Lynde biographer and see if I can find out anything about that. But also what Barbara Eden wisely pointed out, which is true, is, I mean, she played Jeannie, who, even though she was the lead of the show, it was she was a secret character. She was Major Nelson's secret. So she often did not get to have scenes with the guest stars. So when Paul Lynde comes on, she might have a scene with him, but she doesn't get to see him all that much. And it's the same thing with Dr. Bellows. Dr. Bellows' scenes are mostly at NASA, except when he just barges into Major Nelson's house without a key, just opens the door and it's great. The original Urkel, Dr. Bellows. So she was I just didn't have a lot of scenes with him. She did say that Hayden swam every morning in his in the pool at his house, which I've also found the Zillow listing for Hayden Rourke's house. So I know what it looks like on the inside now, and it makes me angry that they've redone it. Ugh. But I found that absolutely, as a gay that loves swimming and as a gay that wishes he had a pool that he could swim in every morning, I'm here for imagining Hayden getting up and doing laps every morning. Ugh. Yes, please. The life I want. And that also speaks to why I'm really invested in this, is because Hayden Rook's marriage seems a lot like mine. Their dynamic. Hayden was the more gregarious one, and his husband was the more, you know, reserved, level-headed one. And my husband is silly and goofy, but compared to me, I'm also way goofier than Hayden Rook ever was. But in terms of, like, gregarious, extroverted life of the party, yes, I am that. Yeah, I have to think of a title for the book, too, at some point. So anyway, I don't know what else I can say. Maybe I've said too much. I fully do not know what is too much information to give out before a book is released, but I'm also, like, I'm not giving y'all all the goods. I have photos that you guys can't see. Boom! There'll still be plenty of treats in this book. And also, by the time it comes out, you will have all fully forgotten this. Hopefully, we will have forgotten all of 2020 by the time this book comes out. But considering how fast I'm moving, maybe it'll come out in 2020. I don't know. But yeah, it feels like my life's work. So I'm going to wrap up. It feels like my life's work. It feels like a lot of shit has pushed me towards doing this. Like, it's, if anyone is going to tell the stories of gay sitcom actors of the 20th century, it's going to be me. And this is one that needs to be told. So if you're listening to this blathering on and haven't listened to the legendary gays of sitcom history Hayden Rook episode, go back in the archives and listen to that, because it's a good one. And otherwise, I am trying to get back on track. Please go back and listen to the Alex Lake episode where he talked about family ties. He's from The Circle, so we talked about an episode where people get trapped somewhere. It's a really fun episode. And then I also did a bonus episode, because it isn't a sitcom, but I made Ethan Kay talk about Heart to Heart, because I had to. And I'll be doing more Heart to Heart episodes. No one has said anything bad or good about it, so I'm just going to take that as I can keep going with it. And also, it's my show, and no one can stop me. No one can tell me what to do. It's my life. Yeah, this one's for you, Hayden and Jess. Trying. Rate and review the show on iTunes, and I will see you next time. I must have seen TV. Oh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.